Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned to
Disorderly Conduct
with your host,
Vincent the Bay.
Vincent the Bay.
Vincent the Bay.
Hi there, honey. I'm number one.
Hi there, fella. I'd like to see you after the show.
Everybody. Hey, 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 it's Vince in the Bay. Back up in this for another edition of Disorderly Conduct. It's Make Monday Monday, October 3rd, 2011. And thank you all for joining me on this vainglorious Sunday edition of Disorderly Conduct. So good to be back. It's another Monday. It's time to get back to work, back to the grind, and you can't be king of the world if you're a slave to the grind, but that's fine. Apparently the kings of the world, the one percenters, should be shaking in their boots, shouldn't they? The 99% are... rattling the cages out there in Liberty Square. Oh, yeah. Good times, good times. The Occupy Wall Street protests continue. Still without a definitive message, which is probably the way they want to keep it. And as these protests continue on and gain more momentum, more followers, more media attention, you're going to start seeing some. I'm already starting to see some things that are just rubbing me the wrong way. Now I was certainly down with the protests at the beginning, at the get-go. I thought the idea of occupying Wall Street was intriguing. I liked it. I'm mad at Wall Street too, no doubt about it. A lot of those investment bankers and so forth. A lot of these people, I think, fucked up in a major way. Big time fucked up. Gambled away a lot of people's life savings in some cases. The mortgage crisis was a shame. It really was. It was a shame and a sham. I was pissed off, 2-3 years ago when they did that TARP deal? It's obvious we have blatant fascism going on in this country. And I think we all need to just come together and hold hands and act like we're really the 99%. Act like you're the 99%. Don't. You know, I think the Tea Party and the Occupy Wall Streeters need to join forces, because there are a lot of problems with the runaway big government welfare warfare state. And there's also a little problem with Wall Street, obviously. The free marketeers. They need to be held in check somehow. How do you keep the free market in check? How do you do that? Well, I guess you first have to start with actually instituting a real free market. But my point being that these Tea Partiers and the Occupy Wall Streeters, who seem to be at odds, they should join forces. Because a lot of the Tea Partiers, let's remember, a lot of the Tea Partiers, at least the original Tea Party movement, sort of came out of the leftover 2008 presidential campaign. A lot of disaffected libertarians, like Ron Paul followers and the Fetters. A lot of these people were the initial flame that kindled the Tea Party. And Occupy Wall Street could certainly easily build a bridge with the End the Fetters, which are the Tea Party in some cases, in most cases. I mean, the right, the Tea Partiers hate the Fed. They hate the helicopter Ben Bernanke. And who created the Fed? It was the bankers. Okay? So I think you're all on the same team here. I really think you are. And you should start pretending like you start acting like it. The Tea Partiers and the Wall Street Occupy Wall Streeters, you guys are on the same team, okay? Start acting like it. Because if the Occupy Wall Streeters teamed up with the Tea Partiers, they would have a good little solid little third party going there. I think. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. Good times. 347-826-7667 is the number. If you want to join me and talk about these issues, please do so. I know it's on a lot of people's mind. I've been following it. I want to see these people succeed. I want to see a postpartisan, coming together of folks. But I don't know if it's going to happen. I really don't. I think there's too many wedge issues. I mean, just within, if you just analyze this group in and of itself, there's a lot of factions and fractions between people within the occupation itself. So there's so many little issues, and everybody. It seems like there are a lot of folks that are coming into this too. You have your trade unions, you have your anarchists, you have your activists, whatever. You have activists, you have homeless people, jobless people. Everybody's in there down there for a different reason. You got the socialists. Anonymous. It's a big mishmash of folks, and a lot of people. And there's a lot of groups that are on the ground that you don't even hear about because they're not getting any publicity. So it's a kind of a motley crew right now, and I think it's producing mixed results right now. But you have to give them one thing: they're getting the media attention that they wanted. That was sort of the biggest gripe when I first started following these protests. The biggest gripe they had, really, the biggest demand was, we just want to be heard. We want media coverage. Why aren't you talking about us? And now people are. So I think in some ways, you know, some of their demands have been met, because that seemed to mean, to, at least from what I was following on Twitter, my barometer was telling me that more than anything, these protesters wanted coverage. They complained that the media wasn't there, and now they're there. So now what? And let's go to the phone lines. 347-826-7667. I have a non-sicko. What's up, a non-sicko? What's on your mind, dude?
Not much. But you were talking about the dissenting groups and all that. You're going to have that when you bring together 99% of the population. You know, they're not going to agree on everything. They're going to disagree on more things probably than they agree on. You know, it just happens when you have such a diverse group of people there. You were talking about the Tea Party thing. I agree with you to an extent, but you have to remember that who really controls the Tea Party now? It's not the grassroots people who control it anymore. It's the people with money, the people that we are fighting against. That's who controls the Tea Party.
Yeah, and that's who's slowly starting to take over. Well, some people would argue that the Occupy Wall Street was already bought and paid for by the unions. I mean, it's already come out that there's a lot of these initial folks were working with the trade unions, like the transportation union had a guy that was on the ground for the, you know, from that I was following on Twitter from the get go. This guy, he turns out he was he works for the trade unions. He's a media guy for the trade unions, and you know, that's a special interest, like it or not. It's a special interest. You know, if you look at SEIU, SEIU collectively, I mean, they don't have the deep pockets of say Goldman Sachs, but they were a healthy contributor to the Barack Obama campaign. They contributed something like $25 million collectively, because you know, there's a limit. Individuals can only contribute something like $3,200 or something like that. So they create these political action committees that pool together all of these donations, and that's what the trade unions did. And one particular one, which is a SEIU, which is specifically, I think it includes like city workers. It's basically a government union. They pooled together $25 million to help elect Barack Obama. So it to me, honestly, what I'm seeing on the streets there are more or less all the people that were supporting Barack Obama when he was trying to get elected. You got Michael Moore, Susan Sarandon, Cornel West, what's his name, Russell Simmons. All these guys are hardcore Barack Obama supporters.
sorry, Wendigo said Hank Williams Jr.
Oh, yeah, we could talk about that, too. Hank Williams Jr., of course, got banned from the Monday Night Football theme. They pulled his Monday Night Football intro because he equated Barack Obama to Hitler.
Pissing off all the Hitler fans.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no,
anyway, yeah.
Of course, I mean, of course you're going to have a lot of differing opinions. I think the biggest thing that I see out of these is people they're pissed off at the fact that corporations and bankers have more influence in this country than people, and the individual person in this country no longer matters. You know, these corporations and the government and, you know, these bankers and stuff, they don't care that people are going homeless and jobless and all that because they're still making their money. So it doesn't affect them at all. And that's what people are pissed off about. It's, you know, when you're angry, it's kind of hard to develop a cohesive thought. You know, you just know you're pissed off. Sometimes you can't voice it very well. And I think that's what, and I think that's really what you're seeing. You're seeing people who are just fed up and tired of it, and they don't want to, and they don't want to take it anymore. And yeah, maybe they can't voice it as best that they could, but the fact that they're out there proves that something's wrong. It proves that everybody needs to be taking a look at what's going on. You know, it's not just Wall Street. It's not just the bankers. It's not just the government. It's people on people too. You know, we live in a society that doesn't foster relationships anymore. You know, the only thing you're looking out for is you. You know, you're out there to, you got to go make your money, you know, get paid, get your paycheck, and go home and spend all your money on whatever you need. But there's no, hey, you know, take care of your friends, take care of your family. You don't see that shit anymore. You know, people don't develop. Hell, you can look at the fact that people, after you graduate high school, you don't talk to anybody after that anymore. You don't develop these integral social bonds anymore that are really, they're really important to our society. You know, our society, that it doesn't. Sorry, I'm trying to think of the right words and read the chat at the same time. It doesn't foster intelligent thought anymore. People don't have we don't have creative thinking. You know, for the longest, we saw this just boom in technological advances. I mean, yeah, we're still seeing them, but we're seeing them for different reasons now. We're not seeing them, people doing them because that's what they're enjoying doing. Nowadays, people want to invent something because they want to because they want to make money. That's the only reason why they do it now. So I think that's what I'm hearing a lot out of. But I think it's partly being done in the wrong way. But one thing I do ask you, Vince, is don't get too focused on just the Occupy Wall Street. Remember, there's at my last count, sometime last week, there was 75 different events planned throughout the nation and 24 planned outside of the country. You know, this isn't just an American thing. People are pissed off around the entire world. I think we're on the verge. If we can have patience and, you know, have stamina and just stay in it for the long haul and not take no for an answer and not let ourselves get defeated, I think we can really bring about some important social changes that people will be talking about for a long, long time now. Like when we moved from the Bronze Age, you know. I think that's what we're looking at now. We're looking at the next stage of our species. You get what I'm saying? I know I've had a really rough day, so I'm kind of venting a little bit.
Yeah, I'm picking up what you're putting down, dude. Yeah, please vent away, dude. I
ate poisoned applesauce today.
Why did you put poison in your applesauce, dude?
I don't know, but I started eating some applesauce. All of a sudden, I started sweating. 10 minutes later, I was passed smooth out. Didn't wake up for 3 hours. Plus, I spent six hours at the DMV. Sat through three system crashes. Yeah, it was horrible. Horrible fucking day. My ride canceled on me. By the way, guys, I don't know if I'll be going to Occupy Dallas this weekend.
Oh, fuck, dude.
Yeah, it's been a very, very rough fucking day.
Now, Occupy Dallas is kind of a different animal. Now, I think this one is going to be happening outside of the Federal Reserve. Is that correct?
Well, what it is Dallas is a very big – it's the financial hub for Texas.
Right.
Bank of America
the financial hub for the Midwest, really.
It really is. So what we did is we picked a park –
South
Midwest,
right outside,
whatever. That them in Chicago. My bad. Go ahead, continue.
We picked a hub right outside of where the American Airlines Center here, where the Mavericks play. And from that central location, all of those it's almost in the heart of all that financial shit. You know, so we could march to the Fed one day, which is around the corner. We can march to the Bank of America building, which is just down the street. Chase has a bank around, has a big building there. We can go there. And it's in the middle of the city, so they can't ignore it. And there's a lot of support for it. They had a meeting today that was just kind of a spur-of-the-moment meeting. And I know there's a lot of people commuting to the event that weren't able to attend the meeting. And they had like 150, 200 people show up that they had to change the venue. They were going to have it at a little small local college here and ended up doing it near where the JFK Memorial is, because it was a bigger venue. I think actually it was they tried to do it right around the grassy knoll, which I think is kind of funny.
That would be hilarious if they did it on – they occupied the grassy knoll. In fact, you know what? Screw it. Let's do that as a separate side op. Occupy the grassy knoll. We'll call Alex Jones down. We'll get the whole we'll get Prison Planet on board. And we'll make that shit happen, dude. Occupy the grassy knoll. We want the truth about JFK. Occupy grassy knoll.
No joke. When we were throwing around venues and everything, you know, we were trying to find places that were going to be big enough to hold up, you know, a large group of people. And somebody, and we talked about it for a day, and we just decided we thought it would distract from what we were really trying to do. So I think that's why they ended up not doing it. But they really did consider occupying the grassy knoll.
Good times. You heard it here first. Operation Occupy Grassy Knoll coming your way. Let's take another call. Let's see who this is. A blocked caller. You're on the air. Who's this? I think that would be Op No Pro. What's up, Op No Pro? How you doing?
We need something that tells us when it's us. We don't know if it's us.
When I should have just called you out because I had a feeling it was you. Because on my switchboard I don't see a number. I just see ones. Just all one. Yeah. With the block number, it says all ones.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, when I looked at that particular set of ones, it just looked like your number.
Did it look like my ones?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
He makes his
but, one but, special. But I always err on the side of caution, and you know Shagney gets pissed off because he calls in and says, and I'm supposed to immediately from that recognize it's him and not ask who he is. I mean, it's pretty much just a fail safe to check and make sure you know who you're talking about, but whatever.
Sure. I think what you were getting at, Stinko, had to be the next level of logical evolution, you know,
yeah,
as far as where we're going. And that's, I think, what you meant as far as the word. They wrote social development in the chat, but I don't think that was where you were going at all.
No, it wasn't. I'm reading and talking and trying to formulate an intelligent thought at the same time. So,
yeah, it's more like
yeah, good luck with
2001,
that.
The movie with the monolith, you know, and we're all out there just throwing fucking clubs at the goddamn black rock. It's kind of cool. I love it. I love it. What's happening now? And Vince, yeah, they are all Obama freaks. However, that doesn't mean a damn thing.
I'm just giving you my observations. Like I'm not.
Oh, yeah,
me. I'm down with rattling the bankster's cage. No doubt about it. Sign me up. It's just I'm not sure I necessarily would be rubbing shoulders with a lot of these people otherwise.
I think a lot of people have
ulterior motives. I'm not saying there aren't good meaning altruistic people. I mean we've had the good meaning altruistic people call into the show and I know there's people. I don't doubt that there's people on the ground who are getting exploited in all this who mean well and have an altruistic message. But there's so many deviants and rabble rousers. It's really hard to pick out the real McCoy.
Yeah, where the momentum is. That's right. You can't. I mean, you really can't. The only way we would know and it would might be good, it would save money, is to run the ballot box the same time that we're protesting. That way, when we get arrested, we could just put the paper in and check whether we're Republican, Democrat, or who the fuck we want to vote for, because
That's not what I'm interested in, though. I want to see a post-partisan movement, something that does not, you know, that moves beyond this petty infighting, you know, wedge issue bullshit. And it's already happening. This is how I felt about, you know, I had the same high hopes for the Tea Party two, three years ago now. When they had those initial, you know, spontaneous gatherings, I went to some of these things. It was, you know, people of all stripes of life. They're all economic, you know, this, you know, whatever. It was like a melting pot. I felt like it was an organic movement. And again, at that time, it didn't necessarily have a central message either. Although it was more leaning towards, you know, a smaller government, you know, being pissed off at the government for spending and all this shit. And I could get on board with that. Yeah, I think the government is spending out of fucking control. I think it could easily sustain itself with its revenue stream. It's definitely not a revenue problem in my eyes. I think it's a spending problem. And that seemed to be more or less one of the central messages to the initial Tea Party thing was that. And on top of that, it was, you know, inspired by Rick Santelli, you know, getting fired up on the exchange. So that in some ways it got interpreted as a sort of elitist, you know, banker led thing, but it wasn't, dude. It was people that are very much in favor of a lot of stuff that's already in place, but they're just pissed off about, you know, out of control government, out of control spending. And whereas these people that are on Wall Street now are pissed off about out of control, you know, companies, corporations, out of control business, you know, big business, out of control business. And I think there's merits on both sides. And I think if they could somehow find the common denominator and unite, you would see some positive results ultimately. Because I think there's a problem on both sides. I think there's a problem in D.C. with big government, and I think there's a problem on Wall Street with big corporations. And you know, it's just gotten perverted and out of control. And we need to all come together and recognize this. And right now I'm seeing the same thing happen that happened to the Tea Party. It started off grassroots, spontaneous, organic. And you know, within a couple of months, all of a sudden Fox and all the PACs on the right usurped it and hijacked it and took it over. And that's it's happening quicker with these folks. It's happening in a couple of weeks with these folks.
See, I don't know if it's I think government or the corrupt government and the out of control spending, I think those are just symptoms of a bigger problem. I think a lot of people are getting distracted on let's fix the symptoms when the issue is the systems we have in place. If the system was fixed, then you wouldn't have the out of control spending. You wouldn't have people going homeless because they can't afford it. You know, you wouldn't have people starving because they can't afford it. We have to fix the system, not the symptoms. Does that make sense?
Speaking of the system, you know what system I think is kind of productive is that stupid people's mic thing, the mic check thing where they go, mic check, mic check. I have a boner. I want to share my boner with you. You want to talk about, you know why they haven't figured out a message?
I hate the ones that do two words at a time.
You know why they haven't been able to have a conversation in a discussion long enough to figure out their message? Because they can't talk in more than in three or four words. They have to talk in sentence fragments.
And it's the same thing I'm complaining about.
Exactly. They have to think about what they're saying every fucking five words. You know, we're in the age of technology, and these people are doing call and response. Jesus Christ, they're taking us back to the Stone Age.
Well, see, but they won't.
It's not a way to expedite your process.
I think another issue that I find with what's at least going on with up in Wall Street is. I think they're not very I know they don't have a central goal, but look, when you have as many people as I saw going across the Brooklyn Bridge the other day, they could have pushed past them fucking barriers sitting in front of Wall Street, and they really could have occupied Wall Street. You know what I mean? I think they're losing sight of what they went up there to do. I think they're just like, well, we got together, and now we're just going to stay here instead of, I mean, how can you say you're protesting Wall Street when you're not actually going to Wall Street to protest? Does that make, I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. You know, the Brooklyn Bridge has nothing to do with Wall Street. You know, walking randomly down a street doesn't, I mean, yeah, people see you and you get on the paper.
Oh, yes, it does. Yes, it does. Every time you drive over the Brooklyn Bridge from Brooklyn into Manhattan, there's a sign that says you're entering the borough of Manhattan, and it says borough president or whatever, fucking, or welcome borough fucking chief and, you know, fucking commander in chief, Michael Bloomberg, your mayor. So Mayor Bloomberg, you know, he is Wall Street, dude. He fucking is he is the epitome of crony capitalism run amok. You know, here he is, the fucking emperor of Gotham City, the leader of a Wall Street media empire, and he's dictating policy, you know, on the biggest stage on the planet, the financial center of the planet, and he's in charge of the cops, dude.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
You know, this is government. This is your guy. You know, he started off a Democrat or a Republican, or he flip flopped so many goddamn times. Now he's an independent, I think. You don't know who he's on. You know whose side he's on. He's on Michael Bloomberg's side, and he talked. And you know what's disgusting is how he dictates to the people of New York City like he's fucking Mr. Rogers. I feel like he's like telling me a goddamn nursery rhyme every time he gets on the microphone and has a press conference, and this guy's calling the shots, dude. He said he's already making veiled threats that this Wall Street thing is just going to be the spigot's just going to be turned off at some point, and all they have to do is tell that you know, lean on that the place that owns that park. It's a privately owned park. All they have to do is say, you know what? Yeah, we're gonna put the kibbutz. You guys can't be sleeping here, and that'll be it, dude. That's the thing. Is from the get go, they've been occupying a park that is run. I said this when they first started. They've been occupying a park that is owned by an investment firm.
I get what you're saying on that.
That's traded freely on Wall Street. I mean, their landlords are Wall Street investment firms. Okay.
Yeah, but everything's traded on Wall Street. I mean, the thing is that the police told them, okay, you can't be in a public park because they close at a certain time, and they blocked off.
That's the thing is a big message in this whole thing is anti-capitalism. And that's the irony is it's a private entity, you know, which more or less wouldn't exist if you tried to totally outlaw capitalism, had a socialist utopia or whatever, you know, that wouldn't exist. It'd be all the people's and the people's property, and there'd be some law down there there already is a law down there if on the government property. If everything was government property, Then you know, those people wouldn't be able to be allowed there because there's ordinances that say they can't.
See, my thing is, I think they're scared to push the issue. You know what I mean? If 8,000-9,000 people, like they've had up there, like when they marched on the police plaza or whatever, if they pushed past them barriers onto Wall Street, the only way them cops would be able to remove them would be gas, and they would have to. It would break down into a riot, and so I think at some point you have to push the issue, but I don't think they're willing to, because
they're definitely willing to. I mean, there were 700 who were willing to get arrested on the bridge.
Yeah,
you know, willing to defy.
My personal opinion is, okay, there's a difference between getting arrested, getting taken in and released, as opposed to pushing the issue, occupying Wall Street, and making the cops remove you. I mean, if they're really again,
yeah.
you if you have five, we'll be generous and say if you have 5,000 protesters that occupied Wall Street for real, they would have to forcefully remove all of them people, and it would not. I mean, I understand it would not be pretty, but revolution never is. You can be peaceful and still push the issue.
How is that revolution though? Just getting scooped up out of. Yeah, so you don't get to occupy Wall Street. So what?
It would be. I think it would be the start. I think if these people went up there and really forced themselves, on the Wall Street, and Wall Street really came, and the cops really came in full riot gear, and did what they had to do to remove these people, then the everyday person sitting back watching that would not they would not stand for that shit. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm getting what you're saying. I'm picking up what you're putting down. Let's take another call. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air. You've been waiting patiently. Block caller. You're on the air. Who's this?
Vince, this is Kyoto.
Kyoto. Hey, Kyoto. What's
Hello,
going on, dude?
Kyoto. What,
how are you, man? What are your thoughts tonight?
You know, this is exactly what I wanted to talk about. Exactly what I was calling her to talk about. You know,
take it away.
Well, I don't want to take it away. I just want to participate. You know, I'm, you know, to me, Democracy in America by Alexis de Tocqueville, if anyone on the line is familiar with it, right, was an attempt to capture what was unique about the American project in the early part of the 19th century, right? What made representative democracy work in America? What created an impulse for an egalitarian structure where there wasn't deferral to elites, where there wasn't constant abdication of power, where faith was part of the social structure but not the legal structure of the republic? And, you know, he identified, and I guess this is where I want to push back here a little bit I want to push back a lot on you know, impugning the role of unions and advocacy nonprofits and foundations here is that he identified specifically that what made America different was the civil sector institutions that facilitated the collectivization of power, right, and the expression of power. Because as isolated individuals, we are powerless, right? It's only when we join together and organize people and money in civil sector institutions that we can collectivize and focus our power on a specific issue, on large societal demands, you know, whatever it may be. Unions are an essential part of that. In the age of de Tocqueville, it was working men's associations or guilds, developed in the Knights of Labor, of course, during the Civil War and the period after. But these were essential civil sector institutions, you know, and they run right alongside faith communities, right alongside advocacy nonprofits, right alongside education advocacy. You know, this is what makes democracy work, right? Outside of these institutions, where are the opportunities? And this is the question I want to pose to you guys: is where are the venues outside of these civil sector institutions for the collectivization and expression of power? Where else can we push back except through these human institutions?
Dude, I disagree. I think we're in an age now where the individual has tons of power, and in some cases more power than a collective body of people. I think look at the Operation BART versus Occupy Wall Street, for example. I think Operation BART made a huge splash with very, very, very minimal participation. I think there was a handful of people that were pushing things initially online, and another couple dozen people on the ground, and that was it. It was almost like the ground presence was almost like an afterthought. The ground presence was already there. The protesters never increased or decreased in numbers. It was just the adding of a couple of people who got their attention, and did an online assault on them and got tons and made a huge splash. And that's the age that we're in now, dude. People write off protesters. That's why this Occupy Wall Street is taking so long. People are so antsy. Like, well, there's tons of people down here protesting. What the hell? Well, have you ever lived in New York City? There's a goddamn rally or protest every goddamn weekend, dude. Same thing in San Francisco. There's SEIU is protesting every other week outside of, you know, the hotels. You got people. You know, there's labor rallies all the time. There's migrant worker rallies here in San Francisco all the fucking time. It's a dime a dozen, dude. And these people were pissed off because they weren't standing out. And it took trying to fucking cross the Golden Gate, the Brooklyn Bridge, to finally get people to pay attention to these bodies. Nobody gives a shit about bodies now. What's sexy now is, you know, fucking antagonizing on a faceless individual level where they can't, you know, they don't know where you're coming from on the internet.
What did Hot Part accomplish? Where was the win?
What's that?
I mean, not the win in the trolling sense, but what did it accomplish?
I think Bart took a serious gut check. I don't know if you've paid attention recently, but they got a brand new general manager who I heard do an extensive interview on KQED. And she sounded like she was kind of tightening the screws. And I don't know if you've noticed, but Lyndon Johnson has been – we've not heard a peep from Lyndon Johnson. He's been on extended hiatus. And I think for all intents and purposes, he's no longer the face or voice of Bart. And I think that's a major accomplishment. I think they're taking a serious internal look. There's been legislature, you know, instituted on a state level – to take a look at this. You know, there's attempts by, you, I would say, you know, more or less third parties or government institutions to analyze this. It's made some noise. There's people that it was a specific target, you know, the dubious nature of BART and its police force, and I think it's getting it's people are taking a look at it now. I think it certainly has changed things.
So let me ask. Outside of so you have this ad hoc collection of individuals, Op BART, or you know, Op Wall Street, who after the sexiness is over, right? After all of the fun and excitement of the street protest has ended,
yeah.
Who pushes legislation down the field? Right? Who does the
Obama
hard
will.
Work?
That's the thing. That's what I'm saying. With this, ultimately, that's my point, is ultimately you're seeing, you know, the makings of some sort of astroturf for Obama to spark plug his campaign. This is easy for him to just say, you know, all he has to do is do a couple of speeches where he's basically mimicking the same thing these people are saying. And you know, it's no wonder if you go to their website, one of their central demands is institution of the Buffett rule. That's Wall Street, you know, dictating to Obama what they want policy to be, and that's one of their central demands. Is that not is that not dubious?
And I'll give you that it is, but again, don't get just too caught up in the one protest. In about a month, or at least the majority of these other protests will have sparked off. And then it won't and I think there's a lot of people involved in this who understand some of the things that Occupy Wall Street is doing wrong and some of the things that they're doing right, and are going to institute them in their own backyard protests that they're having. Stuff like that, what the Buffett rule is, it's appeasement. It's, okay, fine, we'll do this if it'll make you happy, when in reality it doesn't change a thing. It doesn't change the fact
that's exactly my point, right? Is without an enduring institution, without organizing, right? Without organizing people and money for the long term struggle for economic justice, you will never win, because you don't have anyone there, right? If you don't organize money, then you're entirely reliant on volunteers, on the government, right? Because that's what you're saying with Op BART, right? Now, government institutions have taken notice. And so they're going to be investigating this other government institution and hopefully holding them accountable. Well, that, to me, that's not good enough. And that's not how the democracy has classically functioned when it has been at its best. When it is at its best is when people organize together for sustained periods of time. The Civil Rights Movement, for example, right? A mass of people who are commonly affected by an issue get together, pool financial resources, pool human resources, hash out the hard questions, develop an organizing plan, and for decades move the ball down the road until they achieve success. In spite of the fact that the Internet has provided us with amazing tools for real-time communication and mobilization, I don't see how it translates into anything other than other than loose ties networks, right? What I'm saying is that there is a secondary stage here, and quite frankly, unions are part of that, in my opinion.
Yeah, I just see unions at this point. I acknowledge the historical importance of unions, but I think at this point, a lot of these trade unions are essentially just low level. I don't know. I work in an industry where, you know, sometimes I'm competing with union labor for jobs, and you just can't compete. And getting into unions in the first place is like a catch-22. It's complete. You want to talk about elitism? Yeah, the unions are not looking out for the workers, the people. They're looking out for the union workers and the union contracts, and that's it.
Exactly.
They're happy to usurp some other, like SEIU is happy to just be like, oh, the hotel workers are having a hard time. You know, we'll just change our banners, and they'll be see safe boy day this time. You know, and whatever. It's that sort of special interest nature to these people that makes me suspicious of them just as much as I would be suspicious of, you know, General Motors or GE or any of these other conglomerates that have a lot of influence in politics and legislation.
I absolutely do not disagree with you, Vince. I think that since, you know, there were really two sides of the labor movement. There was the AFL, the American Federation of Labor, and the CIO, the Congress of Industrial Organizations, led by a fellow named John Lewis. The Congress of Industrial Organizations was almost exclusively staffed by people who were developed as organizers and came out of the unemployed councils that were organized by the left during the Great Depression. They were radical organizers. They got together with faith institutions, specifically the Catholic Church, and they kicked the shit out of people all over the country. And they listened to workers. They were led by workers. When the AFL-CIO came together under George Beanie in the 60s, it became business unionism. I don't disagree with you. And in fact, a lot of the reason that I think it's so important for rank-and-file union members to be involved in something like Off Wall Street is that hopefully it ignites a fire for democratic reform within those institutions. I mean, there are a lot of reasons.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Well,
but yeah, that's hopeful thinking.
But they pay their money, right? They're the ones funding it, right? There's a right out of their check, their hard-earned money coming right out of their check to pay those damn dues every year to pay for, you know, $30 million to spend on Obama's campaign and $100,000, you know, multi-$100,000 salaries for local presidents and these huge pensions that business union folks get. And I don't, you know, I'm straight up and down the line with you in the criticism of the current state of unions. But Go ahead.
I was going to say at the same time, I think they negotiate some of these contracts and price their fellow worker out of a job. That I think some of these union contracts are responsible for forcing a lot of jobs to go overseas.
But see,
just like I think a lot of the taxation that these people want to impose is just going to encourage these already sinister people, these bankers, to find more loopholes, offshore more crap to avoid these taxes and regulations. It just encourages to me. It just when you start putting major clamp down on business and everything, it just feeds the corruption. It just makes the people with access that more powerful.
See, if we lived in a society where you weren't only worried about your profits, then we wouldn't need unions to look out for us. Because I mean, if people weren't so greedy these days, and we didn't foster their greed, reward their greed, and only their greed and only their profits, and instead looked at a broader level of things like employee happiness, and you took all that kind of stuff into consideration, then we wouldn't need unions, and you wouldn't have the chance for these people to, you wouldn't have the chance for these people to be corrupt, because they wouldn't exist. If we as a species looked out for each other instead of only for ourselves, then a lot of this greed would just disappear. We could quit worrying about fixing the greed and fixing the stagnation of our species, and we could start focusing on the future. We could start focusing on what's going to happen not 10 years from now, but 1,000 years from now.
Wow, dude, 1,000 years from now. I can't wait, dude. Hopefully I'll last that long. Let me take another call here. Go ahead. Call from 210. You're on the air. Who's this?
Hello?
Yeah, hello. Area code 2. Ooh, it's a lady. Hey, 210. What's up?
Nothing really. I was sick of wanting to call.
Hang on a second. Is this Div?
Yeah.
Div, that's what I thought. Okay, Div. It's
Sicko wanted me to call it.
Synth Div in the house, everybody. What's going on, Synth Div? What's on your mind?
Nothing. I'm just tired. I have a test tomorrow that I haven't studied for. Sicko wanted me to call in, so I did. Got back home from a demo march from San Antonio. I don't even live there, but I have to go. I live close to that. Getting some dinner, a little bit of dinner. Really, I'm tired.
What are you eating for dinner? What's for dinner?
I'm just going to make some beans. I really don't want anything too heavy because I'm kind of tired.
Yeah, I'm kind of tired, too. I had an iced coffee, and it didn't do anything to me. I'm ready to take a nap right now. Yeah, let's take a nap. Want to go in the green room and take a nap? We can just let Kyoto and Sicko take over the show. I mean, they seem to have a lot to say. I don't really, to be honest, I don't give a shit about all this Wall Street shit. I mean, go ahead, burn it to hell. I don't give a fuck. Let's go in the green room and make out. You want to do that?
You're funny.
No? All right, we'll do that. We'll do that in a minute. I would love to encourage everyone to join myself, Sicko, Kyoto, and Div here on this extravaganza on Blog Talk Radio that I like to call Disorderly Conduct. And I'm going to take a little break here. First, let's take this call. I got another caller. Who's this? Block number caller. You're on there. Who's this?
Oh, it's me, Shagme. What's up?
Oh, Shagme. What's up?
Did you cover Bank of America today?
What happened to Bank of America today?
Seemingly, they're still going down with maintenance with their website.
Tango down bankofamerica.com. Tango down bankofamerica.com. Tango down bankofamerica.com.
What is that, day two now?
Apparently. I don't know. I'm trying to get Div in the green room. I don't care what the hell's going
there,
on.
I'll talk for a couple minutes.
Oh, yeah, go for it. You're on with Kyoto and Sicko.
It's not an actual DDoS? It's just a bunch of people rushing to the site to cancel their fucking accounts.
That's exactly it, and that makes it even more lousy. That a bunch of people over the $5 fucking debit card charge are coming in, closing their accounts, they're outraged, and Bank of America is saying, oh no, we can't service any accounts right now, we're having technical difficulties. But then they're saying, they're stating that it has nothing to do with that, but obviously it does, which is pretty funny.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
I think it's great. And I would like to mention something as well is, you know, it's kind of, I've put up on Twitter a link to Move Your Money Project, right, as a way to encourage folks to think about where they bank. You know, don't just go from shitty BOA to, shitty Wells Fargo or shitty Chase. But, you know, when we think about moving our money, right, the really important thing, if you're going to move to a community-based financial institution, is to take your debt there. Because deposit, when you have money in your checking account, your savings account, et cetera, those are liabilities for a bank, right? Because that's money that's due on demand, right? You could go in at any time, thus the run on the bank, right? What happened to the thrift Washington Mutual before it was purchased by Chase, right? That's what happened. People lost faith in the financial institution that was a run on the bank, or the thrift in this case. But, what you could really do is shift your car loans, your student loans, your credit cards, your home mortgages when you get into those, shift your debt to credit to community-based financial institutions, because that's what allows that long-term collectible stable debt portfolio is what strengthens credit unions in the long term, right? That's what they're able to lend against, and that provides a lot more capital for them and to advantage small businesses in your community. So it's not just about where you have your checking account and your savings account. It is much more about where you carry your debt. That's really the money that people need to concentrate on moving.
Shaggy, that's you talking, right, Shaggy?
No, that's Kyoto.
Oh, it was Kyoto. No, okay, I was about to say, Shaggy, that has to be the most intelligent thought I'd ever heard you say.
Oh,
but
God.
It makes more sense that it was Kyoto.
Well, Shaggy was messaging me on Skype. I was just reading what he was writing.
Oh, is that okay? All right.
Yeah. Thanks, Shaggy.
I couldn't help it. Sorry, Shaggy.
As if things couldn't get any worse, we are now joined by OpNoPro. What's up, OpNoPro?
Oh, I'm back. But I don't want to talk about some of those subjects. I have a hard time. Just hard.
OpNoPro is very sensitive, guys. OpNoPro is very, very sensitive. Please be careful. Be gentle on his penis, okay?
I want to flip dick. No, I just don't like talking about a lot of the finance issues.
Don't tell.
Way out there.
But see, I'm not talking about financial issues. I'm talking about societal issues.
I'm fine with where you're going. You're talking about the evolution of society, and I'm totally fine with that. Totally.
You know? When I was raised, you know, growing up, until about the time you're 15, you're taught to care for everybody. And then after you turn 15, it's all about what you can do for yourself, how you can further your own goals and own ambitions.
Well, you know? I've been through it, and Vince has certainly been through a lot of it. But, you know, above 60 and stuff, being able to look back and think about everything that I'd been through as a piss and vinegar revolutionary person from the get-go. I mean, back to 64, I can remember, and I have never changed. I have never compromised any of the things that I believed in.
But
we could do it inside, and so we created our own businesses, really. We didn't want to answer to anybody, so entrepreneurs really flourished. And a lot of people really created their own stuff. They learned how to grow a third ball during a lot of the protest marches. And that was really an important part of things, but I heard what you were saying, Stinko, and a lot of that I would think is unfortunately not going to materialize at the moment. I do not believe that even if we had 5,000 or 7,000 people, which is the equivalent of the amount of people that would get around a police car at People's Park or at Mario Savio speaking on the steps of Berkeley on the free speech movement, Mario would have 5,000, 7,000 people just to get around the cop car so it couldn't move. And those cars didn't move for 30, 40 hours because we never let up. But what was happening in the 60s and the degree that we were willing to go to. See, we still had the war going on. You've got to keep that in mind. We knew that if we wanted a choice during the actual protest to keep ourselves from being inducted in the army, we did not mind going the distance in the 60s. We did not mind getting fucked up, shot at, tear gassed, burning down the Bank of America. You guys are kind of sharing stuff about the B of A. We burned it to the ground. Santa Barbara, like, down, gone. So that's what we were willing to do. And we always had that possibility that we might get our fucking ass shot up and die in Vietnam. So we didn't mind getting arrested. Do you follow? We'd rather spend time in prison than go out and shoot bullets. That was our generation. And that's why a lot of things changed. And you guys don't have that same level of inducement. I'm not talking about level of commitment. You follow? Did I lose you?
No, you didn't lose me, dude. Although you're Patriot Gregging a little bit.
Patriot Greg. Yeah,
just my ass. So, because we had an out, and a lot of people wanted it anyway. Most of the prisons were filled with guitar players, long hair, drug deals, 67% in the federal prisons, guys that threw their deans out the third story window because we'd take over a university. Everyone in America, just like you, are occupying the cities. We occupied every fucking university there was, didn't we, Vince? I mean, were you there for that? When we did Cambodia?
No, because if you could remember that you were there, then it means you really weren't. That's just how it is, bro. That's how the 60s were. If you can remember it, you weren't there. And I have no recollection of the 60s whatsoever. As is most of my childhood memories, this is all information that is just no longer available to me off NoPro. Just not enough room on the hard drive. I apologize, but it is what it is. I'm Vincent the Bay, VITB for life, bitches. We're kicking off hour number two. I'm very stoked to have a distinguished panel joining me tonight. Of course, we have Anon Sicko, Kyoto, Div, Shagmi, and Op No Pro, plus a lot of people hanging on the line. If these other callers want to jump on, just press the number one. You press the number one on your keypad, and I'll add you to the conversation. Otherwise, just sit back, relax, and if you ever at one point want to chime in, don't be shy. Press number one on your keypad, and that'll alert me that you want to join the conversation. And, yeah, so speaking of the 60s, we're going to take a little break. It's Make Money Monday, folks. Let's hearken back to, you know, we had the Summer of Lulls this year. Now, we're going to take a little time, space continuum, step back into the 60s, and be right back. Or 70s, or 80s. Oh yeah, Make Money Monday, everybody.
Yeah.
motherfucking hunt.
Money will make a good man bad. Yeah, yeah. Money will make a good man mad. Yeah, yeah. Money will make virgin and virgin go to war. We get about the good times. You better make it change your ways. You not careful, it will make you lose your mind. Yes. If you worship it, destined to fall. Very addicted. Watch the selected. No matter sell your soul. Now them get rich and a one like big timer. Burn down the bridge that them cross over. Or you can't reach today and grow tomorrow. Don't you know that's the way life goes? Yeah. Money and money and friend and friend. When I put no money before my brethren. Them a worship and a kill the dollar. Feed the love of money, man.
Bitches, 347-826-7667. And now, back to the show.
Oh, motherfucking J.O. Hey, everybody. Vince LeBay doing this for another 50 minutes. Once again, 50 minutes of nonstop hits coming your way here on Blog Talk Radio's Disorderly Conduct. It's Make Money Monday. I got a non-sicko, Div, Shag Me, Op, No Pro waiting in the wings. I'm going to come back to my panel in just a second. But first, I got to take some new callers. Open lines. Your calls take priority, of course. Let's see. Caller, your block number, you're on the air. Who's this?
This is Kyoto. I dropped my phone.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Kyoto is back in the building. Back on the board. Kyoto's back on the board. Thanks for checking back in. Hang on, Kyoto. I got one more caller, and let's see who this is. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air. Who's this? Hello?
At Bank of America, we like having it almost as much as we like your money. We like your money so much. You get enough?
Sorry, Soundboard Sunday was yesterday. Soundboard Sunday was yesterday. Anyway, my bad. Pardon me, folks. So the panel's back. Anon Sicko, Div, Shagmi, OpNoPro, and Kyoto, all in the house. We're going to break it down for another 50 minutes and then get the fuck out of here. But we've been all over the place. Kyoto, where did we leave off with you?
Where did we leave off with me? Well, you know, I think we didn't leave off with me, actually. We left off with OpNoPro.
Oh, what did OpNoPro say?
OpNoPro was describing the environment in which the resistance in the 60s took place.
And why it's
That's right. You're right. We were taking a trip down memory lane to the 60s with OpNoPro. And people were in the chat room were speculating on what year I was born. I was born the year that that track was originally recorded or was originally written and or whatever, released, Dark Side of the Moon. Before that, we were reminiscing about the 60s, which was even later than that.
Oh, no. I'm not reminiscing. I am saying that the...
Oh, you're reliving? Are you having like flashbacks on the air? What's going on?
No. That's you having the menopause, Vince, not me. I am talking about the resistance in the 60s and what was motivating us at that time versus what's motivating the people that are doing it now and how it can never quite be as impactful. It may seem that way, and it really is that way because people believe it's that way, and therefore it is. But we had the war, is what I was saying, and we had many, many issues of like almost a magical lineup with the music of the period, the beliefs of the period, the social structure, the political structure. Everything was changing, and especially the alternative was getting your ass blown off. Okay. And that was it. We were facing death if we didn't bring about change. And that was a really good damn motivator. Now, you guys are not necessarily facing death if you don't bring about change because you're fighting for something you've never had. And I keep saying that. We fought for something now that we want back. We've been fighting for 40 years. Finally, you wake up and you start your movement, which is fantastic, and you're fighting for something you wish you had.
Yeah,
we're in the middle,
yeah,
we're going to get together.
I think you're making a really good point here. Another way to look at this, you can see it's not only because a lot of people like to spin all this into cultural warfare, and it gets into like generational warfare. Because let's face it, who these people want to tax the rich? Who are the people? Who are the rich? Who are the people that are running the whole show?
The older generation.
Generationally, it's more or less the baby boomers, the people that are they're. Into their retirement age, getting into their retirement age, just got into their retirement age. These are the people with, 30 years, company man with the pension, with the savings, with all the accounts, the mortgage, did everything up and down. He's got the Social Security starting to come in, Medicare's kicking in, everything's on full blast. You know, that's where all the wealth is. It's with all that whole generation that just got off the workforce. Just retired, has everything, full savings, everything. That's the people that essentially you want to tax to fucking high heaven. Is essentially your parents and your grandparents.
They're already passing legislation to take back Social Security, Vince. So we can't really. I mean, that when they do that, when Obama finally pulls that fucker off, because he will, that is the day that all hell breaks loose in America. When you take the money away from us that have worked for 40 years to get paid as pensioners and older adults in a society that is now living longer because we've done some very beneficial things at science, at medicine, and other things that allow us to live longer, and then you take away the ability for us to exist This is exactly what X is talking about and why he is so, has such fervor about the homeless and not having a right to feed the people that can't even take care of themselves like we did in Orlando. So this is incredible time. Now, I believe that will gel everybody together. And when that is taken away, when the money is removed in order to exist for those that put it away for 40 years, you can go fuck everybody in hell, because, man, is that going to cook. And that's going to be the day that I want to be on the highest mountain and just sell fucking tickets and sit down and dance. I want to hear it. I want to see that day when all hell breaks loose because our money is gone. To help debt that we didn't create, fuck you, Obama, and fuck anybody in politics. And there you go. I want a cow.
High five!
Yeah, I want a cow and trade for eggs. Get rid of these political bullshit things. The fuck did we lose Renaissance Festival? Take me back. Stupid
shit.
I don't
understand why we're putting... is it fuck Obama because he's the sitting president?
Yes. In other words, I'm opposed to all political parties. Don't get it wrong. There isn't a goddamn person I would trust to have my identity that's alive now to oversee the risk that I go through, such as I would have put my stuff in Kennedy's hands in a second back then. Now, knowing what I know now, I wouldn't have. But being as blind as I was in 63, I would have, because we all trusted him. And everybody we trusted got assassinated. And I used to talk to my dad all the time and argue that I'd rather live in Russia than in America, because at least in Russia I knew who the enemies were. And in America, we don't stand a chance. You are only allowed to become so vocal, and then you're gone. So fuck everybody that leads you to believe that you have any level of accomplishment. It is limited to a specific level, and that's it. You get too many people listening to you, you're dead. That's America. Welcome to America. Woo-woo!
Welcome.
Not the
to
one
America.
I want.
It's great. It's good to be here. Thanks. Thanks for.
Fuck yeah.
Thanks for having me. Although you're in Canada, but let's go back around the horn here. Anon Sicko, what are your thoughts here, Anon Sicko? You've been quiet for a little while.
And I'm in the Virgin Islands. What are you talking about? Canada. This is my summer, you ass. Jeez.
Whatever, dude. I can't keep up with you, man. You're
not supposed
a globetrotter.
To, and you're certainly not supposed to talk about where we should be.
Jet setting globetrotter.
I'm not going to be on the show anymore. Wow. Tell them where we are.
I'm Vincent the Bay. Everybody knows where I am at. What?
That's good for you, Vince. Let them ban your fucking ass, not ours.
What? did
I said that's good for you, but let them ban your ass, not ours. I mean, you. Everyone knows where you are. All right,
uh-huh.
It's not
well,
like
well,
I don't assume, or I hope you don't do things that are shit, man. I'm drawing a blank right now.
What are you drawing a blank about?
No, I'm saying I hope you aren't doing things that will put your life in danger, because everyone knows where you are.
Of course, I'm not. Why would I do something stupid that would put my life in danger?
Oh, there's many reasons. You want me to name a few? All right, I'll name my reasons. I put myself in danger for changing the future, not only myself, but for those that are not even born yet, because I can already see it. I've already seen it when I was younger, of another depression going on. I was watching Commander X's little interview, and like he said, since he was little, he knew that he was useful. He knew that he had a purpose in life. That was to change the world. That's exactly how I felt. I don't know exactly how, but I think I'm on the right path. I think I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah, dude. I guess I made OpNoPro rage quit, dude. OpNoPro. I'm sorry. I don't know what I said that made him so mad. I had any big reveal. I don't think I had said anything that wasn't already common knowledge, but if I did, then my bad. Whatever, dude. You know, it's that's the thing is partly the way I'm I'm approaching my topic tonight. I'm trying to play ultimately devil's advocate here. I don't know if you've caught on at all, but that's you know, it a lot of times when I get, you know, I get really close to these little movements, you kind of don't see the forest for the trees, and it's interesting to sort of take a third party approach and look at it. Because I've talked to a lot of people we've had a lot of people that have called into the show that have been very, very instrumental and you know, on the ground people, and, you know, on the ground virtually as well, as far as, you know, social media and whatever, spreading the word and making these protests get exposed. You know, there's a lot of good, hardworking people, no doubt, and I'm just trying to. You know, I'm just telling you what I'm seeing. When I'm, you know, I see some of this coverage and stuff, and some of the different people that try to, like, you know, get thrown in as figureheads and stuff, and it's kind of like, you know, I've seen this movie before. It's like seeing a rerun again. It's like, wow, man, here's sort of the same scenario getting played out again. It's just history repeats itself. It's amazing.
Well, I think it's an honest criticism, Vince. I mean, that's why I called in. I think what you're leaving is an honest criticism, and I think that you know, historically, all these movements, you know, people suffer when, like right now, all the people on Op Wall Street should be doing, you know, self-education courses and Op Houston and Op LA and everywhere else on the New Left experience of the American 60s, right? And guarding against hucksters and opportunists and charismatic leadership, because time and again, that's what fails in organizations, right? I posted on Twitter a short essay written in 1971 by Joe Freeman called The Tyranny of Structurelessness, and it was a response to the burgeoning women's rights movement at that time, which prided itself on being structureless, right? Just as Up Wall Street and the ancillary Occupy movements are priding themselves on, through, you know, consensus decision making, which I don't disagree with at all. But the whole, you know, General Assembly structure, you know, there are natural structures, because we are conditioned to defer to people that are educated. We are conditioned to defer to people based on gender, based on race, based on style of dress, based on their eloquence in front of a group, or their ability even to overcome social phobia and speak in front of a group, right? So, and I guess that's part of my call, is to say, that's why you need long-term organizing, right? That's why you have to build institutions that allow for people to exercise their skills, their gifts in various capacities that are very deliberately built over time. And that's how you achieve success.
Dude, you're talking about the Free State Project. That's already going on, dude. The Free State Project. Those people are doing it, man. They're putting their money where they're more than their money. They're putting their bodies where their mouth is.
I think the Free State Project is an absolutely excellent example of people who all felt they were affected by a set of common conditions, shared a worldview, got together, and are making it happen. Now, some of the Free State Project stuff, I think, is grandstanding. It's overly confrontational, and it's pointless, right?
I think some of the more than half of the civil disobedience is unnecessary and ridiculous and incestuous. It just breeds more civil disobedience, and it becomes all about the civil disobedience, which is kind of what's happening with these protests too. It's kind of it almost seemed like that. Like I said earlier, the one central demand that I could take from the first couple of weeks was, how come we're not getting coverage? How come nobody's talking about us? That seemed to be the one underlying thing. And then they finally got it, and they're just like, oh shit, yeah, why are we here? Okay.
Because you're asking people on the spot, they're saying, you know, and I get the, you know, the criticism of the lack of media coverage is legitimate, right? When you can get 50 Tea Party protesters out and you have three networks that are covering it, and then, you know, you have people occupying Wall Street and they get nothing for a week, that's bullshit,
right? That's a media blackout. Especially when they're literally within walking distance of all the major networks. I mean, that's obvious oversight by the media. So I think that's a legitimate complaint. Now, what they're not prepared to do, and this was experienced to some degree of the new left in the States as the anti-war movement played out as well, is elucidate a worldview, right? You're asking people to come up with, on the spot, as they're camped in a public park, a cogent worldview and set of pointed strategic demands, right? That's not something that happens. I mean, that's why I said when I first read the document that came out of Off Wall Street, you know, it's kind of a beautiful expression of what everyone in that community is feeling at that time, right? And they've hashed through it and they've wordsmithed it out. But is it something that you could act on? No, not in the same way that Tom Hayden's Port Huron statement was that really drove the Students for a Democratic Society and laid the groundwork for the new left in the 60s. And that ultimately, obviously, was not successful. But it's a document that should be revisited because a lot of the criticisms of the military congressional industrial complex, the crushing educational system, right, all of those indictments are still true today. In fact, more so today with standardized testing, student loan structures, you know, the onerous level of student loans if people want to pursue post-compulsory education. I mean, all of those things that SDS organized around in the mid and late 60s are still with us today. And people are not, in my opinion, they just haven't gotten to that stage of organizing and doing the hard work and hashing those things out. And that's where I think you're absolutely right that, you know, with unions parachuting in, right, they're going to attempt to co-opt this and use it to, use it to bolster their own efforts, which are proprietary and myopic, based around whatever industrial grouping that they happen to be organizing, right? And so, I think that's a very honest criticism of it, and hope that people are hearing that and not simply brushing it off. Union money should be the last money at the table. Otherwise, you have no independence.
Holy Jesus Christ, we have Op No Pro back with us. What's up, Op No Pro? I thought you rage quit.
Not No Pro.
Hello? Op No Pro? Hello? Hello?
How's
Op
that?
No Pro, you're not. Hello. I didn't hear what you said. What? You muted?
I said, no, rage quit? No, I had to call my family because of an occurrence and let them know that a certain thing has just occurred. Okay. No, I'm not. You know, you got to keep in mind, my children are in a different country, and I do everything on this earth to protect where they are and who they are. I don't fuck around, Vince. And I'm just sorry that we had a tiny breach here. So I'm not going to draw too much attention to it. I'm just going to fucking let it go. But anyway, I'm here. And no, I am not Canadian, Vince. Thank you very much. But I do spend time with my family all summer, Vince. Okay? So fuck it. Anyway, it's unfortunate.
International Space Station, just to take a little heat off. I just want to make sure I'm calling in from the International Space Station.
Well, I'm constantly in movement. I can do that, so I do, and it's fun. But that aside, I was telling Vince yesterday that I had sent Jane a message that she had stars in her eyes in 67 at the SDS meeting at Valley College, and now she has stars on Hollywood Boulevard. And then I sent Tom a message yesterday as well. Tom and Jane, I was explaining to Vince yesterday, I think we were talking about them being married. I don't think he knew. And they were at LA Valley College when I was at Grand High School, right next door. Literally next door, 20 feet away from that area. But Exiled Surfers, kind of out there at the earlier days. We grew up together, 15 years apart, Michael and I. It's pretty wild. He used to get kicked out of every room I was in because he was the young one that wanted to hang around. But fuck, Exile's got great photos of all the people that used to be around us. He's got like Sean Penn when he was 14 and 12. Shit, got some great stuff.
Spicoli, Spicoli Jr.
Right when he was 2 years before he did that military one. What was that? The brilliant
Taps.
One? Taps. What a brilliant movie. So
great film.
Yeah, great, great film. Especially about honor and, you know, and just beliefs. My God, what a great flick. But I like what you were saying. I'm impressed. Are you a political? Are you a poli-sci major? Kyoto?
Me?
Yeah.
That's all, you know, that's just information that I don't give up, yeah.
Yeah, I just...
DM me on Twitter and we can get on Skype sometime and I'd be happy to have a conversation with you.
Not a problem. Mine's kind of eclectic. It's seven different directions. But, no, judging from what you were saying, I would, you know, I would just surmise some stuff for myself. But thank you for sharing that. That was good stuff, for sure. And I don't believe that they'll ever really... I don't think it's as loose as you say, Vince. I think to be able to speak to the issues that are happening in today's society are much harder than when the forefathers got into it, because not that much had happened. We were just really fucking pissed off about no taxation without representation, came over here, dumped a ton of tea, and really got down and dirty. And the founding fathers, you know, the wealthiest, it would have been Wall Street in the Buttonwood days. All the guys, you know, that's Buttonwood was, I think, shortly thereafter, I think during Washington's celebration, 1789, wasn't it, Kyoto, when the Buttonwood tree was became Wall Street? I'm pretty sure it's 1789 or something right around there.
And yeah, right around there. That's right.
That's where Wall Street was founded, was the Buttonwood tree. And that's the famous spot, not the where the fucking bull is, unless that bull is where the tree was. I have no idea, but I don't think so. And they had far more to deal with now than we had in the origins of all of it, I think. It's really complex now. They've made so many deals over the hundreds of years that each president has to abide by that nobody's got a fucking chance that gets elected. A lot of the deals were made 30, 50 years ago that guys are still abiding by. Every group that, you know, changes hands every 4 years. No longer who's in charge, and no matter what the administration is, there's too many preconceived, premeditated, and pre-approved deals that you have to follow as the president. There are very few things you get to make up and do. Kyoto, I think you would agree with that. Very few policies and procedures are implemented that are different than those that have already governed many, many administrations before your election. And I think you know that. Kyoto, yes, no? Maybe so.
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at the first 70, 80 years of the operation of the Supreme Court,
right,
they're almost exclusively relegated to making maritime trade decisions.
Right.
Right? So,
that's all that it was about. I mean, that was the power of trade and the only way we were getting in before the railroads were established in 1851. You know, when Wells Fargo came out, that changed things again. But it's always... Even to this day, it boils down to maritime rules. You know, it's the only place where you can establish your own country, per se, by going 12 miles offshore. And now, you want to marry somebody, you know? Wow, cool. You know, all of a sudden, you're a minister. But the maritime laws have always been the greatest laws because 75% of the world is water. Well, that kind of says something. And we've always protected the water routes, you know, the Gulf, you know, the canal, Mediterranean, all of these. I mean, that's why we always have our little ducks and big boats out there to play in the bathtub, and they're always out there. They're always in theater. They're always
in port. Battleship diplomacy.
That's right. So you know, X9 to you, man. Did I hit your battleship? I don't know. Used to be an easy game when we were kids, wasn't it? How the fuck did it get so complicated? Go from little grid with numbers and letters to a fucking warship with 2,500 guys on it. I don't get it. We got sucked in. We got fucked. We did.
A lot of money to be made building those warships.
I know. I used to live in Norfolk where they used to do the demagnetizing after it was done. And they would bring it in, and it would take like a month to run it through the Norfolk magnets. There were these gigantic things. And if you get close, you get sucked in and your head explodes, like things that suck cars up in those bad movies with the little magnets. And, oh, my God, it's kind of really freaky. But they take like a month. They go through real slow. It's like about an inch every hour. And it takes a long time. My God, that's kind of a cool process to demagnetize a ship when it gets decommissioned. I don't know what it is. I don't know what created all that coverage. Maybe it's firing the shells. I don't know. But is Stinko still on?
Yes,
are we in
yes,
the green
yes.
room?
Everybody's on. Dude, everybody's live. Everybody's my time. I think Stinko and what's his name? Shagmy and Div and everybody, we're all fapping right now.
No, I'm just...
I wanted to tell Stinko, I forget, I think it was... Oh, who's the... Richard Pryor, I think, said it. Maybe Bill Cosby. But that you only meet your neighbors when there's a fire on your block. And that's what society has become, about knowing who you're around. And that there has to be a catastrophe in your neighborhood to even know who's next door. And now the only reason we meet people next door is because we steal their Wi-Fi, so we pretty much know who they are. But if we were not rape, pillaging, and burning their Wi-Fi, we wouldn't even give a fuck. And, that's sick. It's unfortunate. I love block parties. I like, you know, getting everybody on the block together, but... We don't do that anymore. That's sad.
Why is that, do you think?
I think we've been desensitized, dehumanized as we've grown up. There's just so much crap, and we all want to think that we're unique. We all want to pretend that we're different than the next person. I wish we had a library of life. I've always wanted that all my life, where you write your journal all your life and you deposit it into a library of life, and everybody gets to read everybody's journals and see that we're all the same, and that this concept of uniqueness is just radically ridiculous, because we are so common to each other that if we would just accept that fact and stop saying that we need something unique in order to identify ourselves and give in to what the reality is, that I give you the illusion of me and you give me the illusion of you, and that's all we're ever going to have of each other, because I'm the only one that knows what's going on in my real world, and I'm the only one that's ever really going to know. So, fuck it. It's trading illusions, trade the journals, read that you're not that unique, and accept your neighbors and have fun, man. Just party the fuck out of it rather than being afraid. Everybody's gotten afraid. Anonymous. The other guys. I was talking about anonymity today, Stinko. These guys that are trying to dox everybody, or they're cyber bullies, or assholes. Render 64, you fuck. Testicle 1, you shithead. All these crappy people that just go around and try and pick on Anons and others, and yet they try to be more anonymous than Anons do. And it's just insane. But the point is that... These guys are just, everybody's not trusting anybody anymore. And I'm just outraged that somebody can think that by telling me my name, they've got me. Wow, my mom did that when I was fucking born. I don't get it. Boy, is that deep. So, I don't know. I'm just really disappointed, but the occupations are going great. I think they're really fun. Vince, I gave him a lot more credit than you do. Oh, now we'll hear sounds and everything and know that we're in the green room. Fuck that. Locked it. Hey, Vince.
No. You're not in the green room. We're just all listening to you intently.
I know.
Yeah,
oh,
we're transfixed.
I don't think so. I'm listening to
the
radio.
You're in the zone, bro.
Well,
we're not, I mean, what do you want?
I'm hearing it in the radio show as well.
Do you want some sort of confirmation? Hang on.
Fuck.
I want to hear you.
Oh, no, man.
Here you go. Well, what do we think?
Very nice. High five.
You know,
I'm muted now. I'll feel proud, everybody. No, I'm dealing with some Twitter stuff. Hang on, I'll be right back.
Yeah, we'll just talk about your cocaine deals again. He gave us a show. What a dickhead! Yo,
shag me. What are you doing? Oh. Shag me. Are you trying to Twitter flirt with X25 Princess right now?
All right. I understand why you haven't been able to talk to me. I've been muted this entire time. I've been trying to talk back with y'all.
Oh, you self muted. I see what it is.
Yes.
Yeah,
wait, bitch! Whoa!
Part of my psych ops. I psyched you out into muting yourself.
I saw Shag doing that earlier this morning. He was tweeting Cinderella. Shut.
Hey.
Wait.
Hey.
I shut up.
What did I say the other day? I'm not gonna let you guys cock block me anymore. That's it.
Yeah, he does that well enough on his own, guys. Come on.
The
guy break. It's bad enough she's got to deal with dealing with him. Now you're getting in his way.
Yeah, no, I'll let it go.
But no, I agree 100% with what you were saying, OpnoPro. We need to quit worrying about what we can do for each other and start worrying about how we can better society as a whole.
Absolutely.
It's like one of my favorite things to say on the show is there's no reason why there should be so many homeless people on this planet when we have empty houses sitting everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, fuck. Just let them in. And you can say what you want to about socialism and people just wanting shit for free, but if there's enough for everybody, why shouldn't they have it for free?
That's right. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? It all goes back to what the fuck are you worrying about profits for? You should be worrying about how you can help somebody else out. And that's exactly what I was talking about earlier in the show. It's so horrible how we have been raised. And until you're 15, you're taught to share and share alike. You're taught to, you know, let people play with your toys. But once you get grown, shit, you don't let people play with your toys. Not
There's
unless you get something
book,
out of it.
A great book you would like called Everything I Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. And it's one of the most beautiful books on this earth.
Hey, Div, you can play with my toy.
What?
You can play with my toy if you want.
Play what?
No, just we're talking about toys and playing with toys. I thought, yeah, you could. I was just offering my toys to you.
Shut up.
All right, never mind. Let's take another call. Who's this? Caller, you just called in. Who's this?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, is this a reefer?
Yeah.
What's going on, reefer?
Nothing. Just really bored.
Yeah. My show has that effect on people.
Oh, tell no, me. I just tuned in like 30 seconds ago.
Oh, you did? Oh, you were bored and you were compelled to call? Oh, dude, don't expect this to help any, all right?
Yeah, well.
And plus, we're almost done. We got 15 minutes to go. But we're just the topic tonight, of course, is we're talking more about the Occupy Wall Street and what it's sort of turning into now, and analyzing it and psychoanalyzing it, and getting people butthurt, and people are rage quitting, and it's the usual shenanigans. But right now, you're live with Sicko, Div, Shagme, Kyoto, and OpnoPro.
I want to say something.
I am not
you,
live.
You're talking about free college for everybody and everything.
New parents.
Okay,
free college?
Yeah. Well, we're having this debate in school about school in the in the chat room.
Okay.
And he was talking about if people can't afford college, they shouldn't take out the debt or the loans to pay it back and everything. But my thing is with the technology we have at hand right now, it doesn't take 5 hours for a college professor to record himself onto the internet teaching people this stuff, and all they have to do is go to YouTube. But because teachers aren't worried about they don't really care about teaching people. All they care about is the status that comes with being a college professor and how people look at them and the paycheck they get. that they're no longer interested in just educating people. There's no reason we shouldn't be doing everything we can to educate everybody in the world. I mean, that's just a retort to say that people can't have education because they don't have any money, or can't have food or housing because they don't have any money, it's ridiculous. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It's inhumane. You know what I mean? It's horrible. I can't describe it enough. There is no reason we should cut people off just because they don't have any money.
That's the thing, dude. At one point, the ideal was that you'd have taxes that would be set aside to pay for education, to pay for basic stuff. And you know what happens to that? It gets spent times like 50, and it's never repaid, and that shit adds up, dude. And eventually, you know, something's gonna happen, and it's not gonna take some protesters on the street. I mean, there, you know, it's inspiring to see the turnout. It'll be interesting, you know, if you know, things continue to see where it goes, but. I don't know, man. There's a lot. You're talking about free education. That's you know, you're starting to sound like Webster Tarpley. I listen to Webster Tarpley every week, and that's one of the things he's suggesting. He's suggesting student loan amnesty. He's saying all, you know, essentially free college. You know, just give all the people that I'm down for student loan amnesty. I still owe student loans. Hell yeah, let's, you know. Let's fucking wipe it out for everybody. Yeah, clear the slate. Yeah, you know, and the people getting loans now, they might as well just get. Don't worry about paying those back. Yep, free money, free student education. There you go. That, you know, initially that's what a lot of these taxes were meant for. Were meant to pay for things like the University of California system. It was supposed to pay for itself, but then it didn't. Suddenly, you know, they had to start paying these extra fees, and the fees became tuition. And suddenly it became, oh, you had to pay to go to a public school. What the fuck is that all about? That's what happens. You know, when you have your utopian socialist, communist, whatever you want to call it, you know, taxed, you know, system, it gets perverted. These people spend more than they have, and they just take it to ridiculous ends, and then you know, who's left footing the bill? Fucking taxpayers, dude. And then you want to tax them some more. But whatever, dude. Div, do you give a shit about any of this stuff we're talking about tonight? Hello? Did you fall asleep again, Div? Two nights in a row, Div falls asleep on us. God damn it.
No, I'm awake.
Okay. All right. Well, last night you fell asleep on the show. Was it that boring last night?
No, I'm just tired. And, I mean, I didn't sleep that much. You know, I didn't sleep that much last night either. I have a test tomorrow that I have not studied for whatsoever.
Oh, what subject is it? Well, we'll help you study right now. What subject is it?
Law and society.
Law and society?
Law and society, yeah.
Oh, perfect, perfect. What point are you in in law and society? Just the current events? Certain time in history?
We're setting precedent and... similar cases and how the verdicts change over time.
Precedent. Yeah, yeah. Good times. Precedent's huge. I think precedent is going to be a major factor in this whole November 1st trial that's going to start, I suppose, November 1st for all those anonymous members that Commander X is now added to the docket now. So that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody sent me, who was it that sent me a link to some audio from his press release? Is that out now, OpNoPro?
Oh, do you have me off mute?
Of course.
Oh.
Why would you be?
That's different. I've been talking, and I know I wasn't I'm talking in the chat room.
I was just ignoring you.
No. I know how it works. X did his about 40 minutes against legal's advice. He went forward with an interview and spoke eloquently and crazily. In many people's opinions, it depends who you are. You know, I enjoyed it completely. Glad that he had a chance to do it, but wished he never did it. But people finally get a chance to meet the myth. And yeah, he did that. And I put out the link for 22 videos today because everybody was familiar with two of them when he had his mask on. But I put in 6 or 8 others that he did that just been sitting on. And 16 that he did for Anonymous but without the voice changer. So, yeah, he spoke for sure. You saw the link, yes, Vince, where all of them are stored?
No.
The
do you
Commander
have
X channel.
Do you have a link for me?
Yeah, I have to get it. I'll open it up. I have to just go on my Twitter feed.
I'm really lazy. I could probably, if I really tried to find it, I could.
I'm just surprised you don't see these things before the show.
I'm not on top of it. My producer, I have no producer. I need a producer. I need. Yeah, you're right.
How much are you gonna pay? I need a job.
Oh, $10 a month.
Hey, that's more than I'm making now. I'll be right there.
Good. That's big.
Soon that's gonna be the norm. $10 a month. Imagine that.
We're getting there.
Yeah.
Well, it won't be $10 a month, but it'll feel like $10 a month.
Dude, I remember when I was young, $10 was like $100. You could buy so much shit with it.
Now you can get one meal.
$20 for one meal, just about. Well, I eat a lot, but I'm not fat. I'm really skinny, which is weird.
It's all the fapping.
Okay, Garrett.
All right,
there's X's video library. There's 22 videos that he uploaded over the last six months.
I would definitely have to go through those after the show.
Yeah, definitely watch his speech, which is the first one, and then any that are dark towards the bottom that are totally black. Make sure you listen to those because that's where X does speak. And those are from 6 months, 4 months, 3 months ago. And that is Commander going through those, doing anonymous videos. And he keeps it dark because, obviously, certain conditions that are going on. So that you will hear some really cool stuff.
I like the pirate hat. He's got the black pirate hat. That is a nice touch.
He had that on at the start of the thing. Most people didn't know, like, really bright red hair. You know, that's kind of...
Yes, he's a ginger. Ginger. Yeah. He looks like a body double for one of the ZZ guys in ZZ Top.
Yeah, one of the motorcycle riders. He's got long.
He could easily be a Hell's Angel. Whatever, you know, he could double as a Hell's Angel for sure.
So
he looks badass.
People that are there are bodyguards, because he's still somewhat in hiding. Which unfortunately the government said where he is, and that's a bitch because he does have other things he has to take care of in his life that are not that pretty. Getting arrested by the feds is not his biggest concern or only concern now.
He said his biggest concern was that the government took away his right to anonymity. I definitely agree with him on that part.
Right. Took away the anonymity, and even if he did what he did, they have no right to front him out as a specific individual calling him X. They may need that to make their case. I'm not going to talk about that, but to call him out as a specific individual like that and hold him responsible for a nickname in cyberspace when several governments have death squads out for him.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
So.
And on a bi-weekly basis, he got multiple threatening messages.
Yeah.
I saw the whole thing not that long ago, so it's fresh in my mind.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the unfortunate part about it, for sure. And there you go. There's X against the will of the council.
And with that, we're going to have to get ready to sign off here. Op No Pro, is there anything on top of that you want to say in closing here before we finish the show?
No, I thought it was a good talk going about the difference between kids now and kids then. It's kind of cool. It's really important to understand the differences. For both of us. Nope. Have a good night. Thanks for the show, Vince.
Oh, yeah. As always, thank you, Op No Pro. Anon Sicko, final thoughts before we sign off.
Just start caring for other people, guys. This is getting ridiculous.
Yeah, stop hating in the bank. If everybody would just stop hating where they're at, then, you know, a little less hate, a little more love, I think we'd be all right, man. Div, anything you'd like to say before we sign off? Is she asleep? Div, she's sleeping. I can hear her snoring. Look at that. She's asleep again. All right, thanks for coming out, Div. You almost made it through the whole show. It's too bad. Shagmi, anything you'd like to say before we part?
Sindiv snoring is the cutest thing I've probably heard in a long time. But in all seriousness, I don't know. Just keep smoking weed. That's the only thing that's going to change the world.
Jesus Christ. Okay. Fine. Kyoto, what? Your final thoughts?
The future is unwritten.
Right on. And I agree, bro. And that's just about going to do. Oh, Reefer, anything you'd like to say before we get out of here?
I don't got shit to say.
Oh, motherfucking yeah, that's right. It's time to go get money, everybody. Yeah, it's another edition of Make Money Monday in the books. Let's see, one more caller here. Caller, who's this? Caller, who's this? Soundboard Sunday was yesterday, bro. Stop hating in the bay. Stop hating in the bay. Go make money, everybody. Big shout out to everybody in the chat room. Anon Sicko, Anonymous Zeke, City of Flint, Cyber War News, Evil Sexy Bitch, Ghost Pickles, Mary Mad. Big shout out to Mary Mad. Love you, Mary Mad. Motormouth News, No Thieves Allowed. Big shout out to No Thieves Allowed for providing some fantastical artwork in the chat room. And also Op No Pro in the building. Palmer Eldritch, Prison Reform. Good to see Prison Reform Movement in the house. Reefer, Shagmi, Stabby McHugs, and Wendigo. Thank you all for coming out. I'll check you out next time. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Vince of the Bay. And until next time, peace out, yo. Go make some money. Can't even walk the street because Div is still on the line. She's falling. She's asleep on the line still. God bless her soul. She falls asleep to the show as a guest on the show. It's beautiful. She's beautiful. You are all beautiful for calling and listening and talking shit in the chat room. Thank you. Very nice. Thank you, very nice. Or maybe not. That's right, we're in the overtime here. It's just me and Div. She's asleep. Everybody thinks the show's over. There's a few people still in the chat room. Evil Sexy Bitch just said goodnight, logged out of the chat room. And a few stragglers. No Thieves Allowed. I meant to give a big shout out to No Thieves Allowed for coming through. Haven't seen No Thieves Allowed in the chat room for a while, providing some excellent, excellent text art in the chat room. The chat artwork is amazing tonight. Make sure you check out the whatchamacallit. I'm going to tweet the chat log, and you'll be able to see some of the artwork that No Thieves Allowed provided for us in the chat room tonight. So check that out on my Twitter, twitter.com/VinceInTheBay. Well, you'll see some artwork. I'm going to tweet that right now, the chat log, so you can check out No Thieves Allowed amazing artwork. And that'll do it. Thanks for coming out, everybody. Good night. Thank you. Very nice.
Thank you, very nice.